Well, greetings everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour editorial review. Sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service of public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour, an editorial review, is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries worldwide over the internet. For more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and editorial review brings you important information about law, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on aspartame and sugar when we come back. You know, in real estate transactions, we follow three basic rules. It's called location, location, and location. Well, in criminal law, we follow three rules also when we're talking to the police or government agents. And that is, don't say anything, keep your mouth shut, and then shut up. Knowing what to say and when to say it and what not to say and who not to say it to is summed up in this maxim of law. And that is, all of the evidence that's ever going to be used against you is going to be furnished by you. And that's why judges, in their opinions, make short, terse statements like these. Listen to this first judge. He said, who would believe the ironic truth that the cooperative taxpayer fares much worse than the individual who relies upon his constitutional rights? And that judge said that in a case called U.S. versus Dickerson. You know, if I said something like that, I'd be accused of being a tax protester, wouldn't I? Now listen to the second judge. He said, you can and you must keep your mouth shut for protection under the Fifth Amendment. He said that in Belknap versus United States. If I said that, I'd be accused of obstructing justice. But listen to this third judge. And here's what he said. He said, the constitutional privilege was intended to shield the guilty and the imprudent, as well as the innocent and the farsighted. He said that in Marchetti versus United States. Now, if you'd like more information about courtroom strategy and procedure, just call the law school at 417-273-4967 and be sure to ask for my free general law CD package while you're at it. Remember, that's a four-hour commentary on the law school. It's entertaining, it's educational, it's informative. Best of all, it's free of charge. Courtroom Strategy and Procedure is a school available on compact disc for adult home education. Now, if you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org, and click onto the email and send an email request for that free general law CD package if you prefer. Remember, georgegordon.org or call direct 417-273-4967. All right, we've been talking about this thing called aspartame. Is it good for you? Is it bad for you? Well, aspartame is a toxic poison. We don't know how many people it kills every year, but it kills a bunch. And it kills a bunch of people. It's like the perfect crime, although I don't think that anybody is intending, you know, with malice, to go out and kill people and use aspartame to do it. But they are killing people, and they're killing people for money. It's almost as good as Murder Incorporated. You know, you want somebody rubbed out, so you pay them $50,000, and you send them out here to kill somebody. That's not what the Coca-Cola Company or PepsiCo or any of these other big food manufacturers are doing. They're killing people, all right. They're killing people with aspartame. They're killing them with a toxic poison. We don't know how many they're killing, but it's nothing personal. It's just business. It's business because you don't want to eat sugar, and you need something to take its place, and aspartame is the thing that takes its place. We'll talk more about sugar a little later, but not only did the Searle Company lie to the FDA about the studies that it had done to get aspartame approved, they lied about them. The FDA caught them in the lies and confronted them with them, and Searle came back and said, well, okay, but... And then finally, after about 12 years, from 1969 to 1981, they got a guy in there by the name of Hayes, appointed by President Reagan, who by himself approved aspartame. Committees that were set up, committees that were put in place of the regular regular approval system, which were designed to short-circuit the regular approval system, these set-up committees wouldn't even approve the stuff. It was that bad. So finally, it got right down to that, just to hell with the committees, to hell with the regular process, we're just going to approve it. And the guy that engineered it was Donald Rumsfeld, our current Secretary of Defense. Donald Rumsfeld. He was the president of Searle. Searle today belongs to Monsanto. They bought him out. And they did it for money. Nothing personal, it's just money. Now, at the end of the article here that we're quoting from, remember this is put out by the Aspartame Consumer Safety Network of Dallas, Texas. That's the Aspartame Consumer Safety Network. Just look them up on the web, look them up on a search engine. And they have 16 scientists, 16 doctors, 16 people with lots of letters and titles after their name, who have come to the conclusion that this aspartame is bad stuff. Now, that's three more studies than the Searle Company put out that were identified as being bogus, that was false science, and filled with lies. At least we got 16 that haven't been identified as lies yet and haven't been identified as bogus science. Now, Dr. Connors, Keith Connors, MD, Children's Hospital, Washington, D.C., Dr. Connors reported a case of two children suffering extreme agitation when consuming the amount of aspartame equivalent in a 6-ounce serving of Kool-Aid sweetened with NutraSweet. Kool-Aid sweetened with NutraSweet. Robert A. Colambi, I guess it's Colambi, C-O-U-L-A-M-B-E, the Center for Environmental Toxicology, Utah State University. Here's what he found. 1985, Dr. Colambi demonstrated in a study that it is possible for aspartame to produce nervous system and behavioral effects, particularly in children and susceptible individuals. Ronald Gattieri, Ph.D., and Michael Mahalik, Ph.D., Department of Pharmacology, Temple University, 1985. Doctors Gattieri and Mahalik demonstrated in their study that aspartame produced brain dysfunction in newborn mice. William Partridge, M.D., University of California, Los Angeles. Partridge and Dr. Workman testified before a Senate committee on the Labor and Human Resources Committee, urging that labeling requirements for aspartame be amended to include quantity. Children might suffer brain damage from excessive intake of aspartame. Aspartame consumed at the same time as carbohydrates would have double the effect on the brain as aspartame alone. Then in 1986, the American Medical Association of Scientific Affairs Review, two constituent amino acids, aspartic acid, and phenylalanine, are neurotoxic. There is a drop in IQ of babies born to mothers with elevated phenylalanine levels and decreases in choice reaction time in adults with slightly elevated phenylalanine levels. That's Dr. William M. Partridge. Approximately 3,000 known complaints, mostly relating to brain function and behavior, have been evaluated by the FDA and the Center for Disease Control. That report comes from the quarterly report from the Department of Health and Human Services. 1986, according to Food Chemical News, the Community Nutrition Institute petitioned the FDA to ban the use of aspartame, presenting many cases of seizures and visual problems. The petition was denied. 1987, NutraSweet petitioned the FDA for approval in baked goods and baking uses. Petition pending. It is reported that aspartame is being mixed into over 2,000 products worldwide in 1989. Well, that's increased now. There's no restrictions on it at all. President Clinton signed the bill in 1994. Aspartame is perfectly safe. It can be used in any and everything, irrespective of the temperature. Now, remember that this aspartame turns to formaldehyde when it gets up to 86 degrees. 86 degrees. That's less than your body temperature. So, as soon as you drink it, your body heats it up to 98 degrees and it's turning to formaldehyde, and that formaldehyde is another toxic poison. So, of the three toxins that are in the aspartame to start with, they turn into other toxins. Other chemical properties are associated with these three that are in the aspartame itself. The International Life Sciences Institute, a tax-exempt group awarding grants to research scientists, the Aspartame Technical Committee, consisting of NutraSweet Company, a Gene O. Moto Company, that's Searle's Japanese licensee, Coca-Cola Company, PepsiCo Incorporated, Royal Crown and Cola Company, 7-Up, General Foods, and many other manufacturers and users of aspartame have been accused of discriminating against NutraSweet critics in granting research funding awards. Not according to UPI. Well, let's put it this way. If you were criticizing me, I wouldn't give you any money. Now, if I was criticizing you, would you give me money? It just makes all the sense in the world. So the Searle people, the Merck company, any business being run by anybody short of being brain dead, if you're criticizing their products, I don't think that they're going to send you money. I'm not expecting any checks from the Searle company after having done this series on aspartame. Doesn't make any sense to me. And if I got a check in the mail from the Searle company, I'd send it back. There's got to be something wrong with that kind of a program. 1987, Peter Dews, D-E-W-S, Dews, a Harvard University psychology professor named to the ILSI. I don't know what ILSI is, but it's the original Board of Trustees in 1978, has served as an ILSI consultant ever since. Dews has stated that NutraSweet is safe. So he was appointed to this prestigious, I guess, ILSI. Samuel Molinari, co-chairman of the ILSI panel, is Searle's former director of scientific affairs and is now PepsiCo research director. So whatever the ILSI is, it's a lapdog of the Searle company. Well, I would expect a subsidiary of the Searle company to give glowing reports about Searle's products, in the same way that I would expect Delphi to give glowing reports and really talk up General Motors products as being good and safe and the best thing that money can buy. I mean, after all, it's a subsidiary of General Motors Corporation, isn't it? James Turner, consumer interest attorney, states that individual scientists cannot do their best and most objective work when financially beholden to the companies who stand to make hundreds of millions or billions of dollars based on the outcome of their research. One Searle-supported aspartame researcher is reported to have received $1,300,000 for his laboratory. Well, send me $1,300,000, Searle, and then listen to my next expose of aspartame. And I will give glowing reports of aspartame. I will tell you how wonderful and nutritious and how great the stuff is. I mean, hell, I'm just as for sale as anybody else. You know, you pay somebody $1,300,000 and they'll just tell you whatever it is you want to hear. I mean, come on, boys and girls, let's grow up and get real. I'll tell you a story here. One time a guy sent me $35,000 in the mail. He wanted to buy some gold, and he didn't know where to buy it, so he sent it to me. Don't you do this, because I don't sell gold. I just have to forward it on to the gold broker anyway, as I'm not in the gold business. But anyway, this guy, he was an old man, never met me before. All he'd done is heard me in speeches and lectures and tapes and et cetera. I don't think I ever met the man. If I did, I wouldn't have recognized him. But I got this package. It was in a brown envelope, and my secretary came in. You could smell the money. I mean, you could smell the money through the envelope. And it was all in $100 bills, $350, $100 bills. I opened it up, and here are these neat little packets in here of $100 bills, you know, with the little bank wrapper around it, you know, that says $1,000, and counted those out, 35 of them. I called this guy on the phone. I said, you fool, you blind, you nitwit. What do you mean sending $35,000 cash through the mail? Oh, by the way, it wasn't insured, and it wasn't even registered. It just came by ordinary mail. Now, I'll tell you why it got to me. It got there because every postal worker, no matter how larcenous they might be, every one of them could smell the money. Everybody knew that that thing had money in it. They might not know how much, but they all knew it had cash in it. Now, the post office will oftentimes send packages through the mail so that they can catch employees who rifle the mail and steal. And, of course, they got video cameras that are around in the workplace and so on. Now, I could just picture this. You can just bet that every postal employee that picked that up smiled as he looked up at the camera and then held it up in front of him in plain view, and then dropped it into the bag, and then held his hands up in front of the camera to show, I didn't open it, I didn't touch it, it's in the bag. Now, this old man said to me when I called him on the phone, I told him, you know, what a nitwit he was, and he said, well, I trust you, Mr. Gordon. I trust you. And I said, you know, that is foolish, because everybody can be tempted. But my price is more than $35,000, so I'm not going to steal your $35,000 because I have a higher price than that. But for God's sake, don't send me $350,000. Don't send me $1,350,000, because at some point, I'm going to steal your money. You know, temptation is in front of all of us all the time. And, you know, you can know that the law says thou shalt not steal, but oh my God, this guy's dumb. He sent me the money, and all I got to do is say, hey, it got lost in the mail. I don't know what happened to it, partner. Now, he got his gold, all right, but I just want to point out, here's a guy who's doing research. One Searle-supported aspartame researcher is reported to have received $1,300,000 for his laboratory. What kind of a report do you think that that researcher gave in his analysis of aspartame after he received $1,300,000 from the Searle company? He got the same kind of report out for the Searle company that the University of California at Davis put out for the John Deere company when they paid $2 million for a good report on field choppers. I mean, you can buy whatever kind of scientific report that you want. Now, I'm not interested in how much Searle paid for the report. I want to know, well, what's the truth of the matter? Does this product harm me or does it help me? Is it good for me or is it bad for me? That's what I want to know. Well, anyway, Dr. Elsis found that when a pregnant woman's blood phenylalanine rises, the concentrative effects of the placenta could magnify the phenylalanine 4 to 6-fold, resulting in mental retardation or birth defects. Now, here's what happens, ladies. You drink this Diet Coke, and then you're pregnant. The placenta takes that chemical drug called phenylalanine, and it increases, it concentrates that chemical in the placenta that goes in to feed that baby by 4 to 6 times. So when you drink one can of Diet Pop, you're giving that fetus 4 to 6 cans. Now, do you think that's very wise? Dr. Alfred Miller, San Antonio, Texas, notes in his clinical observations that aspartame use is linked to mood swings and headaches in patients. You know, I hear people complain all the time. They've got headaches. Oh, God, I've got these terrible headaches. I get these migraine headaches. Sometimes I say, well, do you drink Diet Pop? No, never. I would never drink Diet Pop. Oh, well, do you eat out of the supermarket? And they kind of look at you like you're stupid, Mork from Mork. And they say, well, of course I do. Okay, well, now take a look at the ingredients labels on the foods that you're eating. And you're going to find that there are artificial sweeteners. And they use different names, different labels. You know, it may say saccharin. It may say stevia. It may say cyclamate. It may use words like sucralose, Splenda, aspartame, equal, NutraSweet, equal measure, spoonful, Canderol, E951. Or it may not say any of the above. It may just say artificial sweeteners. And it'll be some one of that list or maybe some other product that I haven't even heard of yet. But those are chemicals, and chemicals aren't food. And those chemicals that are called food are harmful. Maybe only a little bit harmful, but harmful nevertheless. And remember, they're cumulative. It's like you 3 grams will be fatal, but you're only taking 20 milligrams. Well, just keep taking 20 milligrams until you finally get up to the 3 grams, and then it'll be fatal. Spencer Nunn, Hugen, Ludolph, Ross, Roy, and Robertson, King's College Department of Biochemistry. Now, these are evidently scientists, Mr. Spencer, Mr. Nunn, Mr. Hugon, Mr. Ludolph, Mr. Ross, Mr. Roy, and Robertson of the King's College Department of Biochemistry in London. Demonstrated that two chemically related amino acids of external source are linked to human motor system diseases. Human motor system diseases. You got the shakes, you got the palsy. Could be that it's aspartame. Now, it may well be that this aspartame is going to cause some damage that's irreversible. But from my experience over the last, oh, I guess, 10 years, talking to people that have gotten off of aspartame or gotten off of these artificial sweeteners. First of all, everyone I've talked to said, I had no idea. It wasn't even on the radar screen, which is why this series of programs, I thought, well, let's expose aspartame and let's make the surreal people just real enamored with the law. And give you the other side of the story. Now, nobody ever gives you the whole story. When you're listening to the 6 o'clock news with Dan Rather and Tom Brookjaw and whoever's taking their place now, I guess it's Bob Schieffer. Nice guy. God, I like Bob Schieffer. But he never gives you the story. He gives you the sound bite. He might tell you, aspartame has been questioned, and let me pass you off here to our correspondent over at the Food and Drug Administration, and they'll give you a 60-second, or maybe, hell, if it's a big news story, they might give 2 minutes of time to this story. And by the way, have you ever watched the news, the 6 o'clock news with Bob Schieffer, the CBS News and NBC News? What it is, it's advertising time for the pharmaceutical industry. Count the number of ads advertising drugs. The news is pharmaceutical advertising. That's all it boils down to. And if you're the head of CBS, are you going to air a story like this on nationwide TV and say, aspartame is a killer. Aspartame is a toxin. Aspartame has 92 symptoms. Aspartame mimics about 14 diseases, and it kills people. One of the symptoms of aspartame poisoning is death. Death! Let me repeat that. Death is one of the symptoms. That's kind of final, isn't it? Well, not if I was running CBS. There was a story one time being run on the milk industry down in Florida, and these two reporters put out a pretty good story on the milk industry and how corrupt it was and how rotten it was. And they went to put it on the air, and the television station, local station down there, said, no way, Jose, are we going to put this on the air? And that's because the milk industry down there in Florida spends millions of dollars a year advertising milk on television. And all they have to do is say, if you run that story and you tell the buying public out there that milk is bad for them, we're not going to advertise with your station anymore. And I'll guarantee you that any television network that would run a series, like a 60 Minutes or a 2020 or some kind of a series on aspartame, you can just bet that they'd lose the advertising that goes along with these big food giants like Coca-Cola and Pepsi and a couple other. And they're not dumb. I mean, these people are in bed with one another. And when one hand washes the other, one hand scratches your back and your hand scratches my back, and we take care of one another. And yeah, we'll have 60 Minutes and we'll have some exposés, but we're not going to have anything that's going to link big business and big government into some kind of a conspiracy here that is working against Joe Sixpack and Sally Housewife. Now, that isn't going to happen. Now, let's take a look at sugar. Sugar. Why do people use aspartame and sugar substitutes? It's because we don't want to eat sugar. But why? What's wrong with sugar? Well, are all sugars created equal? You know, I like white sugar. Why doesn't my body like white sugar? Can I replace refined sugar with natural sweeteners? Are there herbal options? You know, these and other questions may be going through your mind as you begin to read this. Sweetness and sugar have become hopelessly associated with euphoria and pleasure. Sugar causes our body systems to release feel-good endorphins. But it is not sugar or its derivatives that your body wants. What it really is asking for are complex carbohydrates that are as whole and as pure as our mother's milk. Now I'm going to underline this term, complex carbohydrates. Did you know that honey is a complex carbohydrate? All right. You cannot overdose on honey. When God said that he was giving us a land of milk and honey, he wasn't just whistling Dixie through a straw hat. Milk is filled with complex carbohydrates. Milk digests and it turns into sugar. Milk is good for you. Well, not the milk you get out of the grocery store. That pasteurized, homogenized milk is a killer. That's a toxin. But milk, whole, raw milk is good for you. Honey is good for you. That is, until you heat it. And when you heat it and kill all of the nutrients in it, then it's no good for you. It becomes a toxin. It's the refining and the processing of our foods that is destroying the food value and the nutrients. So it's not sugar that's bad for you. It's the refined sugar that's bad for you. Now, first of all, the big food companies got into the sugar business. You know, sugar, if you're going to bake cookies and you bake cookies with honey, it's expensive. Honey is not cheap. Honey is pretty expensive. So we want something that's cheap. So we want sugar beets and cane that we can refine into a cheap, sweet product. And so back in the 19th century, they did that. Then they put it into your foods, and those foods cause disease because the disease is a symptom. Disease, ill at ease, I have a symptom, which we hang a label on, and we call it muscular dystrophy, multiple sclerosis, cancer, heart disease. We hang a label on it, patent it, develop a treatment for it. And then we merchandise it, we sell it. So aspartame is good for the medical industry because it causes symptoms. These symptoms cause you pain. This pain causes you to go to the doctor, and the doctor treats your symptoms with some kind of drug. It's good for the pharmaceutical industry. It's good for the medical industry. It's good for everybody. It's good for the economy. Zell Harlow Curtis used to say, you know, if it's good for General Motors, it's good for America. Hey, boys and girls, if it's good for the medical industry, it's got to be good for America. So we got off on these refined sugars, and they made us sick. They gave us diabetes and all kinds of diseases. And so one day we woke up and we said, well, these sugars are bad for us. Therefore, we need to cut back on the sugar. Well, when you cut back on the sugar, you cut back on the pastries and you cut back on the foods. And the big food companies want you to consume more, not less. So the food industry had a problem. And they had to solve the problem. People don't want refined sugar. We need to have a substitute for refined sugar. So they went to the chemicals, and the chemicals are 500 times sweeter than sugar, or. And so there's no calories. That appeals to dieters. And it's not refined sugar. That is going to appeal to the people that are opposed to sugar. It's a win-win circumstance. And so let's develop synthetic chemical sugar. And they have. It's called aspartame, stevia, sucralose, Splenda, to replace sugar. That's our objective. We want to replace the sugar. Okay, let's replace the sugar with natural sugar, like honey. I know it's wild. It's new. It's a strange concept. Hang on. Let me give you a reminder, and we'll be back with more on this thing of aspartame and sugar when we come back. You're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide, over the Internet. For more information about The Law School and The Law Hour, please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org. The Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals by prearrangement. The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. For more information, just go to our homeschooling page on the website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has our radio log schedule and archives, and it can be accessed through the website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour is carried worldwide on the Internet. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. The Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, economics, history, health, news, and current events 7 days a week. Now, the Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. To order yours, please call the Law School Director, 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief, and the Law Hour and Editorial Review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program, and we often endorse and recommend books, periodicals, papers, and newsletters to our listeners. However, these endorsements or recommendations that we give do not mean that those authors or publications that we endorse and recommend are necessarily going to reciprocate. Most of these authors and publications that we cite on the Law Hour are political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans whose viewpoint is not necessarily endorsed by the Law Hour and editorial review. The opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the opinions or the beliefs of the advertisers, sponsors, management, or staff of this network or local radio station. So for more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or you can call direct 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about alternative sweeteners. And this lists saccharin, cyclamate, stevia, sucralose, Splenda, aspartame, Equal, NutraSweet, Equal Measure Spoonful, and Canderel E951 are alternative sweeteners. But here's your problem. Sugar can be of two types. It can be simple or complex. Natural sugars are almost always complex carbohydrates, and white or refined sugars are called simple carbohydrates. Well, our body's digestive enzymes break these two types down to glucose, a sugar that the body uses for energy. The main difference between these two types of sugars is how fast each enters the bloodstream and how each affects insulin and blood sugar levels. The following is what happens when you eat a refined sugar treat. Here's your problem. The description. Simple sugars go almost directly into your bloodstream, giving you a temporary high. This is called an energy rush. You may be feeling good, but your high blood sugar is causing your pancreas to scream danger. This is what we call pancreas panic. Your pancreas then dumps large amounts of insulin into your bloodstream to bring your blood sugar levels down again. This is a rash response. Your blood sugar level then swings too low, too fast. This then leads to the sugar blues, those feelings of fatigue and irritability. This is the fast crash. This energy crash sets you up to go for another sugar fix in order to bring your energy back up. And it goes round and round the Mayberry pole. Now, white sugar, which is a human invention, white sugar production is a notorious polluter and resource depleter. Sugarcane is a mineral-hungry plant. Known for depleting soils as well as depleting people's nutrition, cane farming also requires very large amounts of chemical fertilizers and pesticides. So white sugar is no friend to the earth. And refined sugars come in various disguises also. For instance, brown sugar, simply refined sugar that is sprayed with molasses to make it appear more wholesome. Turbinado sugar is just one step away from white sugar. It's made of 95% sucrose. And then they skip the final refining process with little difference in nutrition. And then there's the high fructose corn syrup. That's a cheap and plentiful sweetener, which is used often in soft drinks, candy, and baked goods. Refined sugars come in disguises, just like aspartame. Now, the long-term hazards of refined sugar. Whole sugar cane is stripped of the minerals and nutritional elements that a person needs to properly digest it and to make refined sugar. Eating a naked carbohydrate then robs your body of its own vitamins and minerals for digestion. Over time, excessive consumption of refined sugars can lead to nutritional deficiencies and serious problems like osteoporosis and gum disease. So if you have pyorrhea or osteoporosis, you can look to refined sugar as the cause. If you will take out refined sugar, you won't have pyorrhea and osteoporosis. See how simple that is? Now, I know you can't give up refined sugar, so, okay, well, then suffer with the results. Suffer with the consequences. You suffer with the cause and effect relationship. Now, there's digestive distress that comes from your body cannot produce enough digestive enzymes without the right balance of minerals. But compensating for your sweet tooth with extra healthy foods may be a losing battle because your body is no longer digesting or assimilating food as efficiently. So if you think, well, I'll eat a Hershey's candy bar and then I'll go in and I'll have some Brussels sprouts and broccoli, you probably will not be able to eat enough Brussels sprouts or broccoli to make up for the losses that you're suffering from the white sugar. Now, if you can keep it in extreme moderation, you know, you might be able to win the battle. Most people can't. Now, there are mysterious allergies that come about. Mysterious allergies. Food allergies are often caused by poor digestion. Refined white sugar can weaken your gastrointestinal tract and then lead to a leaky gut syndrome. Now, leaky gut syndrome is a phenomenon where your gut allows undigested food molecules to escape into your bloodstream. Your immune system gallantly tries to protect you by releasing strong chemicals like histamines, but this unfortunately causes inflammation. This histamine inflammation is called food allergies. Now, over time, a flood of white sugar will strain your pancreas, it will strain your liver, and it will strain your adrenal glands, the endocrine organs that helps regulate your blood sugar levels. And your body may respond in two ways. Number one is called hypoglycemia. Symptoms include exhaustion, depression, irritability, vertigo, mental confusion, anxiety, headaches, and blurred vision. Now, do you have any of those symptoms? Well, if your blood sugar levels dip too low, too fast, then less oxygen flows to your brain, and uncomfortable symptoms are created, commonly called headache. Number two is called diabetes. You may be more familiar with diabetes or hyperglycemia, a disease that strikes when a damaged pancreas can no longer produce insulin to bring blood sugar levels down. A diabetic takes insulin daily, usually by injection, to ward off this danger. Excessive sugar consumption has been linked to everything from frequent colds to serious diseases like cancer, heart disease, candida, Alzheimer's disease, and type 2 diabetes. The latter, the type 2 diabetes, is an insidious form of the disease that threatens to become a worldwide epidemic. In the last 30 years in the United States alone, the incidence of type 2 has increased 300%. You got that? It goes up 100%. It doubles every 10 years. And there are three ways to control or prevent type 2. It's called a healthy diet, weight loss, and exercise. The healthy diet includes don't eat refined sugar. Well, if you're not going to eat refined sugar, well, then that leaves artificial sugar, which is called cyclamate, saccharin, stevia, sucralose, Splenda, aspartame, equal, NutraSweet, equal measure, spoonful, or Canderel E951, doesn't it? You're kind of caught between a rock and a hard spot. So when God designed Brussels sprouts and broccoli, he did not put in any refined sugar, and that's because it's bad for you. So God gave you good food, and you came along and said, well, we've got to fix God's mistake. Obviously, he doesn't know what the hell he's doing. So we'll come up with a new program. We'll come up with some new alternatives going on. Oh, by the way, if you'd like a copy of that article right there, that comes from www.karinya.com. That's spelled K-A-R-I-N-Y-A. www.karinya.com. All right, here's another one over here that comes from Save Harry, www.saveharry.com, S-A-V-E-H-A-R-R-Y.com. Soft drinks by the numbers. Listen to some of these numbers. I might point out to you that back at the turn of the century, you know, the last century, 1900, we didn't have very much disease in this country. As late as World War I, 60% of Americans were healthy with no symptoms. Did you hear that? 60% of Americans. In 1918, 60% had no symptoms. They didn't have food allergies. They weren't sick. Didn't have their teeth rotten out. They didn't wear glasses. They could hear just fine. They didn't care about the pollen content of the air that they were breathing. It was irrelevant to them. Now, today, 99% of Americans are symptomatic. That is 99% of us. Take 100 people, 99 of them have food allergies. Or they've got cancer, heart disease, multiple sclerosis, or ADD. They got something wrong with them. Some kind of a symptom. Only 1% of Americans are healthy. Now, there's a reason for that. In 2000, Americans spent $60 billion on carbonated soft drinks and billions more on non-carbonated fruit beverages. And during the same year, the average American consumed more than 53 gallons of soft drinks. Source, National Soft Drink Association. Okay, so if you're average, you drank 53 gallons of soft drinks last year, 53 gallons of Coke. I'm sure that's good news to the Coca-Cola people and the stockholders and bondholders of the Coca-Cola bottling company. Now, one of every four beverages consumed in America today is a soft drink. The source, soft drink markets in 174 countries worldwide documented. Beverage Marketing Press released June 15, 2001. In North America, the average consumer enjoys at least one serving of our Coca-Cola products every day. Source, Coca-Cola Company 2000 annual report. So in America, every American consumes one Coke per day. I'm sure, again, that's good for Coca-Cola. North American consumption averages 48 gallons a person per year, representing more than 44% of the total world soft drink sales. Europe represented 31% and a per capita average of 12.7 gallons per year. The fastest growth in soft drink consumption is in Asia and South America. Source, calculations by the CSPI based on soft drink markets in 174 countries worldwide documented. Beverage Marketing Press released June 15, 2001. Now, during the late 1950s, the typical soft drink order at a fast food restaurant contained 8 ounces of soda. Okay, so let me write that down, 8 ounces, 1950. 8 ounces. Now, today, a child's order of Coke at McDonald's is 12 ounces. So it's gone up by a third, 12 ounces. A large Coke is 32 ounces. So let's put 32 on there for a large Coke. And about 310 calories. And the source is Eric Schlosser, Fast Food Nation, New York, Hot and Miffin, 2001, on page 241. Globally, carbonated soft drinks are the third most consumed beverage. The per capita annual consumption of carbonated soft drinks, 7.7 gallons, is nearly four times the per capita consumption of fruit beverages, which is 2.1 gallons. Again, source data from the Beverage Marketing Corporation. Now, every one of these statements is marked with a source. Now, I just put those sources in there to show you that I'm not just talking off the top of my head. These are the industry numbers. They're not apologetic. They're telling you, hey, listen, everybody in America drinks one Coca-Cola every day. That's how many they sell. Well, good. And then they give us the source and they tell us, hey, listen. Now, it also should be apparent to us that these Coca-Colas contain 10 teaspoons of sugar. And your body can only digest 3 teaspoons of sugar per day. So the reason I'm bringing this to your attention is that most people consume their sugar in the form of soda pop. So if you'd cut off the soda pop, just quit drinking it. I can't remember the last time I drank a soda pop. I don't know if it was 5 or 10 years ago. When I discovered that soda pop had that much sugar, I said, well, sugar's not good for me. Aspartame is worse. I think I'll cut them off. Now, I don't wear glasses. I don't have a hearing aid. I'm 67. I'm in good health, and I can go out and do a day's work. I don't have any symptoms. I'm one of that 1% of Americans who doesn't have any symptoms. I don't have rheumatoid arthritis. I don't have arthritis. I don't have rheumatism. I don't have food allergies. I'm not osteoporosis prone. I don't have pains and aches, and I'm not crippled up and walking around with a cane. I'm just telling you that, you know, like old Jack LaLanne was on TV the other day. Now, Jack LaLanne, for you people that never heard that name before, is an old-timey health food nut, an exercise guru from clear back in the 1950s. I remember that guy, Jack LaLanne, when I was a little kid. Well, he's 92 now, and he was on some TV program the other day. I heard the name Jack LaLanne. I said, Jack LaLanne. And I watched the TV, and there he was, an old man, 92 years old. He too, does not wear glasses. He doesn't wear a hearing aid. He's in good health, 92, and he doesn't have a cane. Now, of course, you're sitting there saying, well, if I have to give up Coca-Cola to live to be 60 years old, then I'm not going to do that. I had a lady the other day, my daughter came in, she said she had lunch with a lady, neighbor lady over here. The neighbor lady was telling her about shrimp, you know, they had shrimp for lunch. And, of course, we don't eat shrimp, and this lady said, now I know that you don't eat shrimp, Cole, but I don't want to give up shrimp because I don't want to give up the good things of life. I got to thinking about that, and I said, what is good about arthritis? Can you tell me what's good about hobbling around with a cane? Can you tell me what's good about cancer, muscular dystrophy, multiple sclerosis, or heart disease? Yeah, I couldn't think of anything that was good about them either, and that's what you get when you eat unclean foods, refined sugars, and aspartame. I mean, if you want to plug your body up with poison, don't let me stop you. And there's a lot of toxins and a lot of poisons out there, and of course shrimp and crab and those wee beasties from the ocean, you know, sea spiders and snails and things like that, you know, that they plug up your body and they give you these symptoms. And Jack LaLanne, I don't know what he eats, but whatever he eats pretty good. I'll bet you that Jack LaLanne cannot remember the last time he drank a Coca-Cola. I'll bet you that Jack LaLanne, he probably eats a Hershey bar once in a while, but I'll bet it's pretty rare. He might drink a Coca-Cola once in a while, but I'll bet it's pretty rare. But anyway, if you're wondering about Jack LaLanne, he's still alive and kicking, last time I heard, within the last couple of months. Soft drinks are the best-selling product in American grocery stores, $11.7 billion a year in sales annually. So you can just bet the soda pop manufacturers and the grocery stores love it. Makes money. 25 years ago, teenagers drank almost twice as much milk as soda pop. Today, they drink twice as much soda pop as milk, which isn't altogether bad because that milk, I'm not sure which is worse for you, the milk which plugs up your veins and gives you atherosclerosis, or the soda pop with the sugar, like, what is it, Jolt? Double the sugar and double the caffeine, or the diets. I don't know. It's kind of like comparing poisons. Well, which poison do you think is the best? Is it arsenic? Is it strychnine or lye? You know, it's kind of take your pick. How about rattlesnake venom, cobra venom, or asp venom? I don't know. I don't want any of the above in any quantities or any doses. None. Zero. Zilch. But you know, that's the way people are. They want to compare their poisons. Advertising profits and CEO compensation. Coca-Cola and other soft drink makers spend enormous sums of money to promote their products. And over the past 10 years in the United States, for instance, soft drink companies spent $6 billion on advertising. God, that's going to make the television companies and newspapers and magazines, and especially National Geographic with that Coca-Cola ad at Christmas time on the back cover, make them all happy. So Coca-Cola Classic and Diet Coke, they advertised $204 million. Pepsi, $132 million. Dr. Pepper, $107 million. 7-Up, $57 million. Pepsi, $145 million. Sprite, $37 million. You know, they spend multiple millions of dollars a year advertising their products. And that's fine by me. It's good for the economy. It's good for advertising. It's good for the companies. And I don't buy their products because their products are poison and they kill. So I don't want to eat their poison. I don't want to drink their Cokes. And so I'm not affected by it. And I'm not complaining about them. And I'm not stove up with osteoporosis either. And I'm not taking some kind of a supplement to prevent me from getting osteoporosis, which is caused by, guess what, white sugar. In 1999, Coca-Cola spent $511 million on promotional activities on top of $355 million in advertising. The same year, Coca-Cola spent $1.6 billion on marketing worldwide. $1.6 billion worldwide. That's a source, by the way. Coca-Cola annual report and financial filings, wire stories, and press release. Despite all the money being spent on advertising, Coca-Cola's profits go from $4.1 billion to $2.17 billion. They were making $4 billion a year. Now they're only making $2 billion a year. God, my heart just bleeds for them. Well, evidently they're losing a little market share probably to some other competitors over there, but you can best well bet that young people would prefer drinking a Coca-Cola to drinking milk, especially when mom and dad go into McDonald's or go into the restaurant and they order soda pop. I happened to be in a restaurant the other day, and I just paying attention, just watching, and I noticed that most of the people around me were drinking soda pop. Those that weren't were drinking coffee or tea, and then there was a couple of milks out there, a couple of milks, mostly soda pop. You were wondering what I was drinking. Orange juice. I drink juice. All right, I'm about out of time. We'll take it up right here talking about sugar and aspartame next time on the Law Hour and Editorial Review, and we'll give you some ideas and eye-openers here as to what you can do to solve the problem for yourself. You're listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review, sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. For more information, just go to our homeschooling page on the website at georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. Time's up. I got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station. God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, and good night for you.